This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Friday, the 3rd of April, 2020, on what feels like one of the longest weeks of this year so far. Of course, I'm in the studio with...
Arvini Brudge.
And Christine Wong.
We will be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's Friday, of course, and we thought we'd lighten the mood just a little bit. And we'd talk about something that, of course, every Malaysian loves. We're talking about food today. And culinary experiments and stuff that you've tried during the MCO. Our question for Biz Bytes today. Let's have some fun, folks. Get involved. What culinary experiments have you tried during the MCO? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we are at BFM Radio. Do let us know. We've got some feedback already. We'll be coming to those in just a couple of minutes. Let's start in the room, though. Arvin, what have you tried?
So a couple of weeks ago, I didn't know what Dalgona coffee was. And then I think like a couple of days later, I found out what it was. So we made that at home.
And?
It's nice. It's good. It's like legit, like honestly good. And I can understand why a lot of people like it. Other than that, I've just been picking up a lot of, you know, being able to cook a lot of things, which I wasn't able to do before. But with the extra time, I'm like cooking like cutlets and making a bit of like side stuff and a bit of veggies. So yeah, just picking up on the cooking skills.
I've also been trying to cook a little bit here and there as well. I made my own pesto the other day. Not traditional. I kind of experimented, you know, instead of pine nuts, which are very expensive and not really worth it. I think I used cashews, which was very nice. And I also did some fried rice, but instead of using soy sauce, I tried to use Worcestershire sauce and fish sauce just to try and see what that would do. And it was delicious. So I'm very excited about that.
My kitchen has felt like something out of MasterChef for the past couple of weeks. You know, I'm not doing half of the stuff in there. I walk in and I go, oh, that smells nice. Oh, that tastes good. And then get sent out of the kitchen. Don't interfere. Don't touch. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just eat.
I'm okay with that. But there's been lemon curd in there. There's been meringue pies. There's been lots of different types of breads. All kinds of stuff. So it's been wonderful to see how creative people have become, of course, on social media as well. We've had a bunch of photographs sent in via Twitter as well. So if you want to see those and make your mouth water a little bit. You know, but we're also keen to hear from people who have made good food out of simple ingredients. You know, obviously we're trying not to buy as often and go out as often. So what stuff in the cupboard are you kind of using as well, you know, and how you're making the most of the stuff that you've already got? That's an interesting discussion. Let us know. Okay, so this all came off the back of a story that we've picked up from Says about how Arvin just mentioned it. Dalgona coffee was the first thing that popped up. Then it was homemade bread. Now, what's next? DIY bubble tea. So, Tea Live, they want you to transform the bubble tea scene during the MCO with a do-it-yourself bubble tea kit. Yes, I'll say that again, a do-it-yourself bubble tea kit, which customers can make at home. So Lube Holdings, Sindhira Mahad, and CEO Brian Liu has said this was Tea Live's initiative to stay relevant with tea lovers and to tell them that despite this trying period, they could still satisfy their craving for a good drink.
Yeah, and Brian also said that when the MCO was imposed, everyone was affected, and we know that everyone has to play their part by staying home. We had to close some of our stores while the others remain open for takeaway and delivery. Fortunately, we have our delivery partners who stepped up to fill that gap. Here, we're truly grateful to Foodpanda and GrabFood. He also added that, however, Tea Live wants to be there with tea lovers even when they are staying home. So coming up with this DIY kit makes it happen. And so we transform.
And of course, when an organization transforms, they need to do their market research. So Brian took to Instagram to check interest and was immediately overwhelmed by the tremendous response, which moved hundreds of kits in the first few days. He was quoted as saying, "What happened last week was nothing short of miraculous. My Instagram was flooded with requests and the idea just took off. We then decided to dedicate a channel to make this available to everyone. We have shipped out thousands of DIY kits so far." He also recollected that Lube is, of course, course, no stranger to the transformation process, saying, "We started off at a small kiosk in a mall, and today we have stores in every format and size, from mini kiosks to standalone shops, petrol stations with dedicated drive-through stores. In fact, we're the only bubble tea brand in the world to have our own drive-through stores."
See, now they have a dedicated online store for the DIY kit at shop.tealive.com.my for tea lovers to learn the finer art of making the drinks. There are tutorials in BM, in Mandarin, on Tea Live TV. Tea Live TV, folks.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a thing. Never thought I'd say that.
It's a thing.
The DIY kit is available at 150 ringgit with all the ingredients needed and delivered to your doorstep within the Klang Valley and Peninsula, Malaysia. It'll be sufficient for 20 to 25 cups.
So if you're wondering what the DIY kit comprises of, or what is 150 ringgit worth of stuff, it's 1 kg pearls, 500 grams of brown sugar, 75 grams of imported Nishio matcha, 75 grams of imported Hojika, 20 pieces of white paper straws, 3 packs of Milk Lab milk, and recipes for 5 different drinks. So it is also available at Jaya Grocer supermarkets and selected Tea Live stores in the KL and PG areas.
I do like that they're giving you, you know, a variety of flavors with the matcha flavor and also the hojicha flavor as well.
So hojicha flavor.
Hojicha.
Okay.
Because it's a tea flavored, basically.
Now I know.
So matcha is green tea, and hojicha is, I think, sort of like typical black tea, but it's like Japanese black tea, and it's usually roasted, so that's really nice. But I quite like that. You know, they're trying to be really creative, and it's a really innovative way to also potentially ship out some of their stock that they're not using.
It's funny, though, because the amount of times that I've been with somebody and all they've wanted are the pearls, and they've gone to the Tea Live store and said, "Can I just have a cup of the pearls?" And they've been, "Nope, can't do that." Oh. Now,
Without the tea.
Without the tea. Don't want the tea, just want the pearls. Yes.
I don't know.
Some strange people, they like that kind of thing.
Okay.
But there you go. Anyway, that's what Tea Live are doing. What are you folks doing at home? Do let us know. 0187-89-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more discussion about culinary experiments and what you've tried during the MCO. We'll be right back. Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Boring, fake, macho. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise, folks. And here at BFM, we're shaking things up during the MCO to do what we do best. We're going to keep you informed and up to date, explore hot button topics, and play the music you love, all to accompany you whilst you're at home. To start off your day, expect your regular dose of business and current affairs, followed by a program of shows, all curated with staying in and keeping active and healthy during your time inside in mind. Tune in from 7:30 on Monday, so make sure you stay safe and stay tuned in. Now, of course, here on Biz Bites today, we're asking you what experiments, culinary experiments, have you tried during the MCO? We've got some feedback. I've got a couple here on WhatsApp already. Sean is... Today, he is cooking salted fish head curry and fried bihun. Sean, you've just made all of us hungry here in the studio. Now, Melissa has said she's tried out different macadamia nut ice cream recipes.
Nice.
Also, over on Twitter, what do we have?
Yeah, so this comes from Rebel to Save the Environment. It says that Nescafe ice goreng, haven't succeeded, still trying. I honestly, with the kind of things that come out, I have no idea if that's an actual thing, because
I know you can deep fry liquids technically, but I don't know how deep fried coffee would go, so let us know, man.
Yeah, deep fried coffee. We should ask somebody who's Scottish, they deep fry everything.
Yes, they do. What's the other thing on Twitter?
Emin Ibrahim says he sent us a picture actually of lunch today, and we can't show you. You can go check out Twitter if you want to see the picture, but it's pan roasted cherry tomatoes with garlic, Greek cheese, and sweet basil on a multigrain toast, roasted pumpkin, caramelized onion, pumpkin seed, mint, and cream cheese on multigrain toast.
All right, enough already.
Like, wow.
On Instagram, from Corcoran Asia, we just have, "Hi at BFM Radio." Hello. Nadia Najib says, "Indonesia dish, tempeh bakcem? I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. I'm so sorry. But interesting. And our very own Jeff Sandu says, "Maggi goreng, but without the flavoring and use my own spices. It turned out pretty good," which I approve of. And also a weird but interesting hack from me is if you take like Maggi noodles, especially if they're like tom yum flavored or something, and you put peanut butter in them and shrimp, with the flavouring, it kind of tastes like pad thai.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Right, moving away from food, unfortunately, just for a moment or two, we need to talk a little bit, of course, about startups. This is from something we've picked up from Digital News Asia about how startups may not survive, but it's not the end. So earlier this week, Mosty, they held a webinar session on building tech resilience with the Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation, YB Khairi Jamaluddin, together with Razif Abdul Aziz, the acting group CEO of Cradle Fund. In that session, Razif spoke about the challenges early stage startups are facing at the moment. Could this also be a catalyst for fueling the next wave of innovative startups, especially with the new norm when the MCO is lifted? So the guests were Razif Abdul Aziz, the acting group CEO of Cradle Fund. Razif, how has Cradle been handling the MCO period?
From the perspective of Cradle, I think I'll be honest. We didn't see it reaching those proportions. I think a lot of us were caught by surprise. In fact, I still remember preparing SOPs for if one of us, one of the staff, one of the team would be infected and how would we respond in that way. But the MCO and the scope or extent of the MCO, it was something that at that point in time I wasn't even considering. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with that. So I think to a large extent people were caught by surprise. I think the same thing would be on if I was that way. I think most of the startups or businesses in general would probably be along those same lines. I think the kind of thing, this is unprecedented. I mean, people keep saying this, but it bears repeating, it's unprecedented. And nobody actually saw or sort of like predicted and have the vision or I suppose to put the necessary things in place to be able to you know, withstand something like this. You know, you stress test something like this, it doesn't even come to mind. So I think it's something we are slowly grappling with as we go, and we are adjusting as we go as well.
It's kind of obvious that resilience is really being tested here, and there's also a lot of talk about the struggles of cash flow for businesses. So what are you hearing from startups at the moment?
A lot of them are, you know, reaching out. We already have companies, because we're primarily a grants player at this point in time, as you know. So those who have received our grants, what we call live cases, we have about 100 of them. And the ones directly impacted during this MCO period, we had the time of actually analyzing that and, you know, looking at, okay, who's going to be directly impacted, who in terms of priority, these are the guys who will be at during this period of time be submitting their disbursements, you know, they be claiming their payments and all that. So we quickly identified them, started to connect with them, you know, basically reaching out to them and telling them what to do, what to expect and all that. So I think across the board, people are seeing very revenues have fallen. It's like a falling off a cliff of some sort. Those who are in selected sectors, the ones who are, I suppose, continuing to operate, those who are online, largely online, or providing essential parts of that online sort of like supply chain or value chain, will continue. So those guys are, I wouldn't say completely not impacted, because MCO does mean that people can't move about as easily, right? So that's beginning to, the impact of that first few days, okay, fine. And then things sort of like you start to realize sort of like stuff you didn't think was going to be a problem, and now it is a problem because it's impacting everybody. It's not just your company that you can't, people, your company's people that can't move about. It's also other people, and nobody's completely sort of like completely self-sufficient in that sense. You will be using, and because they are startups, you will be outsourcing large parts or different parts of your processes and activities, which means at some point you will find a wall, you know, and suddenly, you can't do that because that guy is closed. He can't move because he's non-essential, right? It won't be a complete sort of like a value chain. There'll be parts of your stuff that can still move, and then there'll be certain parts that will be what sort of like kills it because nothing moves in that particular part, you know? I don't know how else to describe it.
Is there a real fear, though, that some startups won't survive this period and might even shut down permanently?
When you're dealing with startups, especially with the ones we support, these are companies that rely on our grants. These are really early guys, right? So when you're really early, you're not like the VC fund ones, because chances are VC funded companies will have, because the amounts that are invested are larger. So I'm not saying this is true across the board, right? So it really depends. It's very difficult to make a generalization. But generally speaking, they probably have a longer runway, generally speaking. In fact, Sharil of MathCap did say sort of like runways of maybe up to 10, 12 months. In our case, I think there are people with 2-3 months, maybe less. It really depends. The fact that they are in the main asset light helps, but I mean, you know, if there's zero revenues coming in or very little, you're going to feel it at some point, and it's sooner rather than later. So yeah.
And I guess not generating any cash flow is just going to burn through any runway that they have.
Exactly. So it's all about the cash flow at this point in time. It's not like there is no business to some extent there will be no business. I'm just saying that it's not like their products, nobody wants their products anymore. It's just that either certain parts or something that's impacting on consumers that have made them stop, you know, it's like holidays. Nobody's going on holidays. So hotels are losing out, transport or transport related are losing out, you know, and everybody else who is built around that. So entire towns like, say, Tanah Rata in Cameron Highlands, entire towns built around tourists. If there are no tourists, they're not making any money. They're probably making very little money just from the locals. And even then, that depends as well, you know, that kind of thing.
You're hearing from Razif Abdul Aziz, the acting group CEO of the Cradle Fund. We're going to take a short break in a moment. We've got some more questions for Razif. Don't go anywhere. We are asking a question, of course, on BizBytes today. What culinary experiments have you tried during the MCO? Let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Music up next. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.